With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
And with the third pick, I made the earth sick.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back to the Third Pick Podcast, man. We're back after a week hiatus. I know y'all probably, you know, looking on the barbershop feed last Friday, like, why the fuck I don't see the pod on here, man? I text Mariano, like, man, we got, like, you know, one, I didn't feel like talking about them niggas, and two, it's just like, we ain't got that many games. Like, it's not going to be that much different from this week and next week. Let's just, you know, wrap up the regular season next week. So that's why it didn't happen. But you know to follow us on Twitter, at Barb Chair Scott. Mariano, let them know where they can follow you at.
Yeah, man, you know, it's me, man, at Mariano on Twitter, two N's, two O's. You know, the playoffs about to start, man. You know, I'm gonna be a little bit stressed out. So tell your aunt not to text me for too many things, please. You know, at Mariano Bibbins on Instagram, you know, we'll be back. Like you said, man, last week we just, you know,
we had to take a time. The Bulls ain't been playing, so why we gotta play?
It was nasty. It was nasty. And it was like, you know what? I'm just not in the mood. You know, how the same way the Bulls do sometimes, like, you know, you said, you know, they just show up and I'm not in the mood to play defense tonight. Well, you know, we just didn't feel like it.
Yeah, man, that's pretty much where it's at with it, man. You know, to, you know, Patreon.com/Barbershop Network. If you are watching this means you're a Patreon subscriber. If you like to watch this, you know, and see me here with my dumbass Bulls hat, see Mariano with the great do-rag on, you know, you can watch us here, Patreon.com/Barbershop Network, $5 packages, $10 packages. Fuck with everything you want to fuck with, man. We appreciate those who do subscribe. Had a big month last month in March. We're April as we're recording. This is Thursday, April 7th. I am in Los Angeles, and this is going to sound like some rich people problems, but it's hot as fuck. And I was telling Mariano before we got on here, we've done our time in the Midwest.
Yeah.
So I won't complain too much, but anything over 90 degrees, I'm really not fucking with. And it's like, it was a high of 62. Just 48 hours ago, you know, yesterday was a gorgeous day, like 84. I had lunch outside. Mm-hmm. It was a good day. I woke
probably
up
listen
this
to
morning.
Some wobble away, some little, right. You know what I mean?
I woke up this morning walking to the gym, and this heat beat my ass at 8:30 in the fucking morning. I'm like, it's too hot.
When it's that hot that early, Monday, it's going to be a bad day, baby. Yeah, it's been about 60-ish, low 60. Now it's like 64 here, so. It's, you know, it's cool. I prefer it this way. It but this weather's so crazy that so the day before yesterday, it was beautiful. Absolutely beautiful day. Like you said, this shit was like it was scripted. Like it was beautiful. Yesterday it rained all day, thunderstormed all night. And then today you get up and it's a beautiful day again. So when you down here in the A, you have to have an outfit on that you left the house in, and then keep like a hoodie in the car or keep some shorts in the car. Like you gotta just keep something in the car because you never know what the weather going to do.
Never know what's going to be like.
Yeah, you never know. Never
anybody
know.
Who lives in L.A., spend any time in L.A. know that it's cold as hell in the morning. And after 7, that temp drops. So for me to wake up and it's like 85,
it's over.
I knew it was going to be a hot ass day. So if you happen to hear my fan in the background, I apologize. And no, I'm not turning it off because I don't want to fucking die in this apartment. And I refuse to fucking turn on the air conditioning right now. I just fucking refuse. I'll wait. You know what I'm saying? But you're not here to listen to us talk about weather. You're here to listen to us talk about Chicago Bulls basketball. Now, yesterday, G, I went back and listened to our preseason pod that we recorded all the way back in October, which feels like 4 fucking years ago. That was episode 16. This is episode 32. So we've done a lot of episodes this season. And we don't sound like right now. I feel like we sound like prisoners of war. Like we just like, you know, we have so much optimism, you know.
See the innocence in our young faces.
I don't want to break it down like, you know, our predictions were wrong because I listened to it and our prediction was spot on.
Yeah,
we both were sitting up. We both said in between 45 to 48 wins. We both said either 5th or 6th seed. So we're sitting here with what we wanted, but I think it's the road that we got here is what's irritating. So my question for you to start off the pod. Now, the Bulls officially clinched the playoffs. First postseason appearance in 5 years since 2017. I apologize if y'all heard my ESPN alert. By the way, ESPN alerts are not the same anymore. You know, you ever get an ESPN alert like 4 o'clock in the morning? It don't be nothing to do with sports. It'd be like, LeBron James is having Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can save this.
Yeah.
But I digress. So, Bulls clinched their first playoff appearance in 5 years. First time since the 3-Alpha season of Jimmy Butler, Dwayne Wade, and Rajon Rondo. But see, they clinched it in a night where they got their ass whooped by the defending champions by 27 points, only because the Cleveland Cavaliers lost to the Orlando Magic. I've never seen a team clinch on the night of the playoffs and the fan base is still fed the fuck up. So my question to you is, how should Bulls fans feel right now?
Man, listen, I'm going to tell you this, right? Depending on how you feel right now as a Bulls fan, it'll let me know how long you've been a Bulls fan and if you're actually really a real Bulls fan or not, because for me, we already knew that they were going to get their ass whooped. Like, I always tell y'all when it comes to Milwaukee, keep it under 10. They couldn't do it. They just couldn't do it. It's a terrible matchup for us. So that's number one, right? Like, feel how you want. I'll tell you how I feel. I'll tell you what's the most logical thing to feel. In a year where we're set to rebuild and, you know, retooling and, you know, throwing shit at the wall and see if it stick, all this type of shit that was going on in the preseason, right? Nobody expected this team to be good, number one. Number two, they thought that our ceiling was like the play-in. We just clinched to avoid the play-in in the first year of a rebuild. What more do you want from this team, dog? Like, I'm upset when they lose too. But then immediately this wave of like logic comes over me and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. This is a playoff team in year one of a rebuild. Yes. How long have the Orlando Magic been rebuilding?
The Sacramento Kings,
like the Thunder have 90 picks. They're not going to be good anytime soon.
And how many of them 90 picks are going to be worth a damn?
Right. So let's really sit back, dollar.
Don't forget about Minnesota. Minnesota is outside of the 2017 year have been rebuilding since KG left.
Yeah. It's and they have their bright spots here and there. They have a very fun young player with Anthony Edwards. I like what Kat was doing, you know what I mean, at certain points of the season. You know, and when D-Lo can stay healthy, they're a cool team, right? It's a cool story. But let's not kid ourselves. Nobody's worried about Minnesota come playoff time. They're going to get a couple cute wins, a couple highlight dunks, some good, you know, TikTok material, but they're
some
not
good serious. Edwards podium moment.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love Anthony Edwards. I'm a huge fan of that kid. So shout out to him. But my thing is, this is a Bulls team, like you said, haven't been to playoff in 5 years. But remember this: this is year one of an absolute rebuild. These players haven't played together before, and they damn haven't played together this season, you know, with all the injuries and the COVID and, you know, this, that, and the third. So, you know, for me, I'm going to tell y'all, and listen, feel how you want. If you want to be down and out about this team making the playoffs, that's on you. We got enough shit to worry about as Bulls Twitter, you know, for me to be sitting up here mad that they made the playoffs. Like, I'm never going to do that. So I feel good about it. Like, this is not a championship or bust season. If that was the case, then yeah, just making the playoffs is not good.
Yeah, it's not like with the Lakers. If you want to hear my thoughts about that, I got some of y'all niggas on Ball Don't Lie next
week. Bro, I told niggas to keep that same energy.
And we're doing so.
And that same energy is being kept, my nigga.
Bring your ass to the stage.
Really April Fool's joke, my boy. Y'all really done for the year. You really going to see us in the fall now.
What did T.I. say on when he was looking for Lil Flip at the birthday bash, like in 05? Lil Flip, bring a punk ass to the stage. Yeah. He said, look, nigga, I'm the truth. Kind of nigga walk around in the Lucky Charm suit.
Yeah, it's over with, man.
That's how I feel about LeBron. So check out my rant on Ball Don't Lie coming. But I agree with everything you said. Now, I'm with you. I'm not going to tell Bulls fans how to feel because the Bulls have been flat out ass since the All-Star break. And I went back and looked. I think I counted our record since that. Remember that game in early February where the Nets came through and just whooped our ass
on national TV? Yep.
We're like, our record is like 8 games under 500 since that game. And it's been god-awful basketball. But, you know, and I understand that, you know, you don't like seeing your team get your ass whooped. Like, it's not, I don't think it's, I'll speak for myself, and also I'm pretty sure other Bulls fans agree with me. I don't think it's the fact that they're losing to elite teams. It's the fact they're getting their asses whooped. You know what I'm saying? The games don't even be close. You know what I'm saying? That's why I think it's the irritating part. Even though I think that stat is ridiculous. Like, I feel like we play better against elite teams in the Denzel Valentine, Wendell Carter Jr. era.
Yeah, dead ass. Yeah,
and
no,
that's 100%. That's the mind-blowing part about it. But like you said, in this season, you gotta take the zoom out approach. Zoom out approach. I'm gonna take you on a little trip. Let's go back in time a little bit. Let's fast forward. Let's rewind to 2 years ago. All-Star weekend in Chicago. Cold as fuck. I'm drunk. Having a great time. And guard packs. Everybody wanted guard packs is here. If you'd have told me when I was sitting there on couches All-Star weekend with my cousin and my nigga Pav, oh, you're going to have a 45-plus win team in 2 years, and you're going to be in the first round of the playoffs. How are you going to feel? I'd be like, nigga, how? How did this mess get cleaned in two fucking years that fucking quick? And how did John Paxson do this? Because we didn't know anything about Arturas or Mark Eversley. And by the way, I just want to say, Mark Eversley is tall than a motherfucker. I don't know if you've seen that pic with him and AK and Michael Randolph with Obama.
You know what? I didn't realize he was that tall. For some reason, I imagine he was just like an average height.
Yeah,
type of, you know
I knew
what I'm
AK
saying?
Was tall.
Yeah.
Well, Eversley damn near taller than AK.
Eversley might be dunking.
Yeah, that's like dunking. 6'8". So, and also, yeah, y'all look bad in front of the president, Barack Obama. Yeah, I don't care what nobody. I don't care what you Twitter niggas say. I still fuck with Obese. That's my nigga.
Man, fuck with Barry. Yeah, man. Fuck with Barry O, man.
Yeah, I'm Barry O, my guy. But anyway, like I'm saying, you gotta take a zoom out approach. I'd have been like, oh, I take that. If you would have told us at the beginning of the season, when we're doing our preseason pod, 45, 46, 47 wins, I'm like, I take that shit. For sure.
You got damn right.
So you got to look at it like you got to take it from baby steps. Now, we don't know how this postseason is going to go. We're going to preview some potential opponents later in the pod. But they got to go in there. They got to take the ass whooping like a man and learn from it.
Take it like a man. What your man said?
Take it like a man. That was my man. I thought his name was Juntao for a long time.
I was just about to say that same shit. Yeah.
It was the white dude, Juntao. I'm mad that I found that's one of my favorite movies, and I didn't know that 3 years ago. But anyway, he's like, you got to take it like a man. You got to take the ass whooping like a man. But I know a lot of people don't want to hear it. You're like, well, other teams have been hurt. Yes, I get that. But injuries have played such a big factor in this. Such a big factor. I mean, Caruso, he's back, but he's not healthy. We see him grab that wrist every play. Now he's got back spasms. He's not Zach out there on one fucking knee. And I don't know why the fuck Billy played him last night and why he's probable tomorrow night or tonight. It makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, I thought Zach would get a quarter in that Milwaukee game and that'd be it. But like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
And I understand that they're gonna have a week off regardless, but give them more. Give them more. Like you're a game and a half behind Toronto. Don't think you're gonna get that fifth seed.
It's not worth trying. And I think to your point about the injuries, there's a big difference between an excuse and a reason, right? Like an excuse
is Anthony Davis,
right? 100,000%. Like us coming up here making excuses would be like to just forget that the rest of the league has injuries and just it's just about us being selfish. This is the legit reason, bro. Like there's a reason why when players are hurt, Vegas changes the lines on games because one player can affect the whole game. So imagine two, three main pieces are out. All it takes is one bench piece, one starter to be out. Your whole trajectory of your week or two, it goes out. So, I mean, we can't just ignore it. But like I said, you don't hear us coming on these pods ever harping on injuries. We're just saying we can't wait until they get back, and we just want them to compete. With the guys that are out there, the next man up approach doesn't mean – come in and win every game. It's just, let's go compete. That's all we really want. That's the only reason I'm mad about these wins. Because, I mean, about the losses that could have been close games or wins. Because when you look at the league and you see other teams that aren't as good as us competing with teams, like on a nightly, it's like, damn, bro, like we couldn't go out there and give them a fight like that. Like we couldn't go do this. So it's nasty in that regard. When we're looking at a team we know capable of so much more, and they just,
Yeah, it's kind of like that line from Players Club. You can't even pinch the bitch. Like, word. You know, that's all I want for the Bulls doing the playoffs is pinch the bitch. And it's like, but, like you said, we don't come here and make excuses, but I know we live in a world where two things can't be true at one
time.
Right,
you know how that goes. Yeah.
You can blame injuries, but also say, this team's playing bad. Like, the defense to me it's not been good lately, but the offense has been so much more of a problem.
Yeah, the offense is atrocious.
Our next next topic. Yeah. Lonzo Ball out for the season, which we kind of had an idea this was going to happen 2 weeks ago when he got shut down for 10 days. And, you know, and he came back and he still is having discomfort. Now, he's been out majority of the calendar year. I think he got hurt like January 14th or some shit like that.
Yeah, early. Yeah.
And 6 to 8 weeks, he's still not. So, and this is the least games he's played in his entire career. I went and looked at it. So, you know, and with knees, you don't want to play with. There's never been such thing as a moderate knee injury. There's no such thing. That's why people ain't talking about it. But I'm kind of nervous about Ja Morant. Like,
yeah.
No, you ain't heard nothing about his progress.
Yes, and the way he plays the game, bro. It's scary to see it because he's a very explosive player who, you know, his game is predicated on that. You know what I mean? So, and then he doesn't land the best either. You know what I mean?
No,
so
he doesn't. That's what people like. He reminds me of D Rose. Yeah, he do, and that's why D Rose got hurt. He landed too fucking violent. Yeah. And I know Bulls fans, we get PTSD when you hear guard and knee injury when it comes to the Bulls. I definitely understand. Yeah. But Zoe is like, look at Draymond. We can talk about what Draymond brings on the defensive end in Golden State. We all know that. That offense doesn't look the same without Draymond.
At all.
Steph doesn't get easy shots. Klay has to dribble. And it's the same thing here. People forget Lonzo's like 6'6", bro. He's not your average point guard height. He defends. He helps defend with Caruso, and he sets the offense up. When is the last time you seen a fast break consistently from the Bulls? That entire aspect left when Zoe got hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's a big loss here for him. What do you think about, you know, how the team's been without Zoe and, you know, just his injury in general?
Man, I think, number one, I want, you know, prayers up for him, the healthy recovery overall, just in life, period. You know what I mean? Like, aside from basketball, like, this is still a person that needs to use his fucking legs and his knee. You know what I mean? So, but on a basketball note, there's at least about 4 or 5 wins I can just probably think of that having Zoe out there would have got us over the hump. You know what I mean? Where I think that, like, that one missing piece, because there were games where the offense goes stagnant in the third quarter, and now we you know, we can't make it up in the fourth. Or the offense goes stagnant in the last 5 minutes of the fourth. You don't have anybody to rally the troops and, you know, bring this shit together to actually put together, like, a real half-court offense. Like you said, fast break shit. That's the type of thing that sparks runs and destroys momentum for the other team. But we haven't had that explosiveness since Zoe went out. So, I feel like I'm glad that they never tried to, like, rush him back, or he tried to rush back or anything, because it could have been way worse than what it is. Let that man rest for however long he needs to. You know, this is not –
he can get a head start on rehab.
Yeah, absolutely. This is not the end-all, be-all season. Again, got to keep on driving this point home. This is year one of a rebuild, and we look like we already figured it out. So that's a huge step in the rebuilding process. Because, like, we just named off a handful of teams that's been rebuilding since before niggas had full facial hair and shit like that. Like, they've been rebuilding for a very long time, dog. So I don't know what to tell y'all. You know what I mean? But prayers up to Zoe. Like I said, man, I hope he gets healthy. This team looks completely different without him out there. Completely. So, you know, that's another thing. That's another reason right there. You know, it's not an excuse. Like you said, injuries happen. But when the person on your team that literally sets the tone on offense and can do the same thing on defense is gone, it changes the dynamic. Like, not the other team can game plan different. So, you know.
Yeah, it changes the dynamic, and it's like there's no rhythm on offense, like, whatsoever. And you got Billy putting these weird lineups there. Like, I don't want to see a Caruso-Io backcourt. Like, it just, you know.
Yeah, it just don't look good.
And Io has officially hit that rookie wall, and it just is what it is. You can't get mad at Io. He's had a great rookie
game. Yeah, we told you that a couple pods. Listen, he's going to remind you he's still a rookie. He's advanced and everything, but he's a rookie. That rookie wall comes from playing this many games this late in the year.
He's never played this many games in his life. Yeah,
it's just that's the wall for the rookies. They like, oh shit. Usually their body muscle memory is like, okay, cool. When they get around this time, I can calm down a little bit. This is when you got to start putting the, you know, the pedal to the metal. You know, you going into the playoffs for, you know, for the big dog game. So that's all it is for him. I don't have any, you know, complaints necessarily about Io. It's just, you know,
he's overperformed. He's overperformed this year, and
that's not also his fault.
I think he's gonna be on an all rookie team. Probably not all rookie first, because Cade is balling. I love Cade.
Yeah, Cade is killing. Shout out to Cade.
I just wish he wasn't in our division, but I love Cade. he'll probably be like on the second all NBA team. That's great for all rookie. Absolutely. And so he's sitting that wall. Caruso's hurt, but Zoe, we miss Zoe badly, man. We miss Zoe badly. And on top of just, you know, running the offense and getting the fast break going and what he does defensively, he's our best three-point shooter. And yeah, our three-point shooting right now is abysmal.
Which is it so is crazy to think about, bro. Terrible. You're talking about Lonzo Ball being the best three-point right shooter on the team. Like, bro, a couple years ago, niggas would have laughed you out the gym saying some shit like that. Like,
yeah. And, you know, crazy. Everybody sees. I seen Magic Johnson was on First Take this week. And just when Stephen A was talking about the Bulls, he said, well, you know, they don't have Lonzo. And you got the greatest point guard of all time telling you the things that Lonzo brings to the right game.
You know, act like it's nothing. Like,
yeah, you got to listen to stuff like that, man. So, you know, Lonzo rest up. You know, why we need him healthy for next year. So I hope he, you know, is able to chill, get it together, and just come back for that 22-23 campaign, man. Rest up, Zoe. But let's talk about another guy who was out for majority of the season, came back, Mr. Patrick Williams. I want to talk about his progression. He started the last three games against the Heat. He played 30 minutes, only shot six times, about 12.6 rebounds, two assists. Against the Bucks, he had his a great game, 7 of 9, six rebounds, and 18 points. Mm-hmm. Didn't do much in the Celtic game, but he also had a huge game last Thursday and a big comeback against the Clippers, where he hit a big time shot, big three, had a huge dunk. What do you see from Pat? Like, you know, what can he like take from this little run?
Well, I'm seeing exactly what I wanted. You know, again, we talked about this before. I feel like we've just been right all year. I don't want to toot our own horn and shit, but we've been right every time we said anything.
You be right on this podcast, man. Let's
yeah, go, man. This is just what we do. You know, but what I said about Pat, I said, it, you know, offensively, it doesn't really necessarily matter the shots that he's missing. I care more about the shots that he's taking, you know, his actual, you know, like, let me see if you're comfortable in certain spots, right? Whether you make them or miss them, let's just get you in the habit of taking them. And like you said, over his last three games, he's averaging something close to like 12 and 6 on the humble. Yeah. So those are the numbers that I want. Like I said, rebound, play defense. That's it. Get your points in the floor of the offense. It's exactly what he's been doing. So I just want him to get comfortable, more acclimated to just being back in action, playing ball again, because he's a young player still who still hasn't had a chance to go on full display like what he can do. Start the season off. Wrist injury that looks like it's going to sideline him for the rest of the season, you know, so yeah, it's like a miracle that he's even back in the first place. So
young bone,
you know,
man.
Yeah, man, you know, and like I said, when I knew that he was coming back, all I wanted from him was just let me see the game shape, you know, let me see you run them down the court, seeing, you know, how you're going to respond to certain shit. Is the defensive, you know, pressure still there? Is the rebound still there? And it is on both sides of that. So, I mean, I'm proud of this kid, like, for mentally being there. This shit could have took a lot of dudes out. You know what I'm saying? Physically, you might still be able to perform, but mentally, just looking at the rest of the league, just kind of like run past you. You see the rest of the young guys getting all this praise, and you're on the sideline, forgot about because you got hurt. That could easily deter you. You could easily come back out there and just be lost in the sauce, but he's came right back in like he never missed a day. I think he'll probably turn that up as we get closer to the playoffs, and then in the playoffs, I think he'll be a bigger, you know, a bigger factor than a lot of people might think right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that one. I think the thing with me is with Pat, I just need aggressiveness. Like, yeah, you know, even this, he didn't shoot the ball that many times. Like, I'm not asking him to shoot the ball 20. That's just, you know, that's Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan amount. Mm-hmm. But you can shoot at least 12 or 15 times a game. Because I kind of want to see, even if you're missing, be more aggressive. Yeah.
Yep.
So what I liked from these three games is he's more aggressive. You know what I'm saying? And he's actually shooting. Like, as many times I've seen since he's come back, where he passes up an open look. And like he overpass, which his team likes to do. They like to overpass. Take that look. Be aggressive. You have the fucking tools.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And he got to get it done. But I like what I see. But the question with Pat, can he continue it? You know, for this team to have even a chance for them to win a playoff round, especially without Lonzo, he's going to have to step up. We need him to be more aggressive and shoot the ball. Like, that's
he gotta
really
be that
the
threat.
Only thing I have.
He got to be that decent little elbow jumper threat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't just you have to account for him. You can't really double the guys when he's out there. If he can bring that to the playoffs where you can't double anybody else as long as he's on the court, then I think he's done his job and more. You know what I mean? Like, you never want anybody out there that's a liability in those type of situations, because when the playoff come, you know, his lineup shrinks. So, you know, they know who you are and they know what you can and can't do. You just got to know.
And especially with Zach being on one knee, with teams guarding DeMar differently, and Vooch just being god awful. I want to talk about. I didn't have that on a rundown, but we need to talk about that.
God, man.
It's just I don't. But Pat, I like what I see. There's bright spots there, and I think he can be great. Next year is going to be I can't even put in words how big of a year next year is going to be. Something has to shake.
From game one.
Yes, from game one, something has to shake from this kid and to figure out what you've got going forward. Because I know, like I said, multiple times this podcast, we know more about IO than we do about Pat. And this is IO's first year. This is Pat number two for Pat. So that is what I'm hoping to see. But I would love to see some aggressiveness these last two games against Charlotte and Milwaukee. I mean, in Minnesota. And they want to play All-Star. We're going to need you, Pat. But let's talk about Mr. Nikola Vucevic, man. Like, you let me down, Doug. You let me down. I've been on your side since the minute you became a Chicago Bull, specifically this season. And in order for this Zach LaVine, DeMar DeRozan, Nikola Vucevic thing to fully work the way the Bulls fans wanted, he has to play well. He has to be a legit number three, and he has just not been that. We've seen flashes. We've seen games where Vooch has done well. He even had a streak in January of like 10 straight games where he's got over like 25 and 15. So we see the flashes, but he doesn't do it consistently. He comes up so short in big moments. Like, DeMar had 40 the other night, my nigga. 40, and this nigga went 2 of 19. You can't do that. I don't know what to say about
DeMar had to give us 50 points for us to beat the Clippers, dog. Like,
nigga, 50 to beat the Clippers. And Paul George didn't even play overtime because he's on a minutes restriction.
Like, it's nasty. It's nasty work, man. I told you when I seen it in person. Like, I saw him before that. It was a couple games. We was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, whatever, whatever. But when I went to that game and I saw this shit up close and personal, it didn't even look like he was – it looked like he was scared. Like, he was scared and incapable. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it looked like, just his body language in real time, you know, and not just when the camera show him. It's like I'm watching this dude the whole time. Like, man, he looks outmatched against guys he should be destroying. Yeah. He just looked like he was letting guys just box him all out, getting, you know, out-hustled for rebounds, making, you know, settling for threes. And it's like, bro, just – you realize you're like 8 feet tall. Like, just go down there. Fuck. Like, what are you doing?
Somebody make a T-shirt. Get your big ass in a post.
It's insane, bro. You have to force these referees to blow the whistle. They're going to do it. You're going to either make the shot or get fouled, and they're going to get in the,
I think the Bulls in general have a problem with that. This is a real – these niggas don't go to the free throw line. They don't go to the fucking basket.
We talked about that, too. As soon as they get in the bonus, they keep taking more jumpers, and I would never understand it for the life of me. I would never understand it, bro.
I'm so fucking done with Kobe White.
Bro. I would never – No, you ain't.
I'm done. No, I'm beyond done with Kobe White, bro. Like, it's just – and I blame Billy a little bit, too, because it's like, if he's not making shots, he should not be on the fucking court.
I agree.
Like, he brings nothing else. He's not a point guard. He doesn't play defense. So if he's not hitting shots,
he's a weapon. And you know, why if that is weapon he ain't, on yeah. the if court. That weapon ain't firing, but like, you niggas that play Call of Duty, like, the gun is out of, you know, ammo. Why are you carrying it? Yeah, right. You got that shit to get, like, like, put that shit to the back somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's whatever. But he's hit or miss. So it's one of those things where it's like, remember, we talked about this. We would just be right. I think he is who he is. Like, when we talked about that, what can he be? And I was like, I think this is exactly what he is. Like,
and the reason that he is what it is the reason he's not going to be on the same thing. Like, I'm like, very sure.
Oh, I agree.
He'll be
a Thunder next year or some shit like that. He'll be out somewhere doing something like that.
Sacramento. But Vooch is just like, and it's like he doesn't want no parts of physical bigs, which scares you in the playoffs because you're going to be going up against a physical big unless you play in Boston. If we do play Boston, he's lucky Robert Williams is hurt.
Yeah.
So to play Giannis, to play Embiid, he's got to step up, man. So it's like that's really all I got to say about Vooch. I'm done with the support, like, you know. And like I said, I don't want to have one thing that sports fans like to do. Is have revisionist history.
Yeah.
Like we said, two things can be true. Yes, the trade was necessary. I do the trade all over again to get Vooch and to send Wendell Carter out. It set the tone. It changed the culture. It let people know the Bulls are serious about this winning thing. It got DeMar here. People keep forgetting him and DeMar are college teammates. It got DeMar here. It got fucking Lonzo here. So that helped to get us to where we're at right now. But Vooch, I thank you for your services. And you can go on and be a family man somewhere.
Yeah, he was just a play. He was just a piece of, you know, part of a bigger plan because, like you said, that trade set the tone. So it's done more for us kind of off the court, culture-wise, you know, than it has on the court with him, like his production. He had games here and there, but when you're an all-star guy that caliber, you can't just be a here and there type nigga. Like, you're not.
Yeah.
We're not going to do that. Nah.
Yeah. You can't afford it on this type of team, man. You need him to show up consistently.
That's important. This type of team. Yeah. Go play somewhere else and do that shit.
Yeah, in Orlando. I don't know if he did some shit in Orlando, but you get it right with it in Orlando.
Yeah, they probably build you a statue. You do that shit over there for a couple years. That over here, like, nah, you got to go probably next season, my guy.
Yeah, you got to show up, man. You got to show improvement. For Bulls fans who want Nikola Jokic, I'm going to say this. Pay very close attention to this offseason because he is eligible for a five-year $265 million. Man. Now I'm not the best at math, but nigga, I live in Idaho for $265 million. So if he, for some reason, says no to that contract, then game on next summer. But if not, we got to find a different option. So that's the thing with Vooch, man. He got to get together, man. But let's get a little bit into the playoffs. The regular season will end on Sunday when the Bulls play the Minnesota Timberwolves. I wouldn't be shocked if both teams rest, guys. Minnesota is probably going to be the seventh seed. Now, if they have an opportunity to actually get into the sixth, I expect them to play. But there's no reason for a couple of the Bulls guys to be playing. But heading into the playoffs, and this is one thing I've been criticizing Billy on. His rotations stink. So my question to you is, what do you think Billy's playoff rotation should be?
Because I feel like the only starting five that like makes sense for us right now is like, you know, start Caruso at the one, right? You guys, Zach at the two, DeRozan at the three, Pat at the four, Vooch at the five. I'm assuming something like that will be enough to get, you know, set the tempo, set the tone. So if we're going like eight deep, I think the first guy off the bench has to be. I know he's a rookie, man, but I want Ayo to be the. I feel like they're gonna go with Kobe. I feel like they're gonna go with Kobe after Caruso. I feel like Tristan Thompson has to be a part of that plan because he's the best fucking rebounder around, like easily. And then after that, I mean, maybe some Javante. Like that, if you're asking me what Billy's gonna do, that sounds like a Billy playoff rotation for us right now.
Yeah, I agree. That's probably a Billy rotation. I think this is how it should be. Yeah. I think Ayo has to start at point guard.
Okay.
Has to start point guard. I like Caruso way more off the bench. You know, it's good to give it a try, see if it would help, but it hasn't really helped. So he's more explosive on the bench. Now, I don't know if you noticed, these last couple games, we've been getting absolutely shellacked. It's usually a close game until Billy has to start making substitutions. Bro,
every time it's a two-point game or a five-point game, and as soon as that whistle blow, we come back out and we down 13.
And I just want to say this about Billy Donovan. Yes, he deserves blame. But there's a lot of Bulls fans out there who are automatically saying, get rid of him after this year, da da da. And it's like,
oh, no, that'd be the worst thing you could do.
Like, Billy is a good coach, bro.
That would set us back, bro.
And Billy has been saying this shit since the 9-game win streak. He was saying, we not playing good. We just getting away with it. And he said after the tomorrow's second game win, I never forget, he said, eventually, these little heroics ain't going to cut it. You got to play basketball better. And he can scream and yell, come every play in the book. If players don't run it, it's not going to fucking change anything. Yeah. I don't like that logic of we got to get Billy.
They need continuity, though. This team needs some continuity. They have at the coaching position, that staff, they need it. They need this time together. They need to fail together so they can learn how to win and learn what doesn't work, period.
I'm going to call this episode, Don't Forget Where You Came From, Bulls fans.
For real,
Forget where you came from, man. I know something. Well, we came from Jordan. That was 25 fucking
years.
That's
what I'm saying. Niggas have really been sounding, like, super entitled. And
we sounded like Cowboys fans.
Man, they sound like niggas in, like, when tax time hit, it's like, oh, now you want to eat the fuck. Like, okay, yeah. Now to sit down the street, the spot down the street on the corner too good for you. Give it 3 weeks. Give it three weeks and we'll see what's going on. Because 3 weeks ago, nigga, you was taking what you could get. So this is what I'm saying. Like, we got to really – when I say we, I'm just speaking for all, like, Bulls fans, right? Like, Bulls Nation. To really calm down and say, where were we last year and the year before that and the year before that, and where are we going? We're headed in a way different direction.
Where have we been since pretty much Derrick Rose left the building?
Yeah, dead ass. And you know, to your point about Ayo starting, I'm not mad at that at all. You know what I mean? At all. But what I was basing it on is what I think Billy's gonna probably do. Like,
yeah,
he'll probably do that.
You know what my lineup would be.
Yeah, no, your lineup sounds like absolutely. That's what it should be.
And I agree with you. Also, had in your lineup, Patrick Williams has to start. Absolutely. He has to start.
Absolutely.
Like, you got to get – he has to – you know, I know he still got to be his wrestling himself, but you got to have him set the tone, even if it's from a defensive and rebounding perspective, especially in the playoffs. Now, my rotation, I would probably do about a nine-man rotation. I would go Caruso and Kobe, first ones off the bench, because Kobe's got to play.
Yeah.
But if Kobe stinks up, you got to yank him out. I think Tristan depends on who the matchup is.
Okay.
If Tristan, if we're playing the Philly, the Sixers, or the Bucks, yeah, Tristan's gonna play more. If we're playing Boston, I want to see way more Derrick Jones Jr.
Absolutely.
The fact that Billy buried him on a bench makes no sense to me. Yeah. Like, look at matchups. The matchup against Boston, especially we know Robert Williams, means they're going small. And I'm not worried about fucking Al Horford. Nobody should worry about fucking Al Horford.
Yeah, come on.
I put DJJ in there. So I want to see that. So that's three people we got. I'm playing Javante just from a defensive side.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he can hit a corner three every now and then. And mm-hmm. I feel like he's got to play more.
He's a gamer, bro.
He's a gamer. And that's probably how I would go with my rotation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's probably the best one. But it's really about adjustments and about matchups. That's what the playoffs are about.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see who we're going to play, because that'll tell the story about everything. That will tell me if Billy's doing a good job of making adjustments on the fly and, like, doing the right thing lineup-wise.
Well, here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want to see from Billy in this postseason?
I want to see Billy not take timeouts when, like, we have the momentum.
Oh, he be having them random timeouts, bro.
It's like these little random moments where, like, we're up seven and, like, we're coming down and, like, we might have just missed a shot. We come down, we get a stop, and it's beat. And I'm like, bro, let these niggas play ball. Like, I've seen them do this shit so many times and stop our momentum, and then we come out the break, and now the game is tied. Two shots later, the game is tied. It's like, bro, like, what are you doing? So I want him to trust himself. If you put that lineup on the court, let them figure it out, bro. Like, let these guys figure it out. This is a learning experience for all of them, including you. So what I want to see from him is that. I do want to see him make timely adjustments. Don't wait to switch the lineup when we already down fucking 13 points and it's late. Right. Like, let's not do that. Let's get this shit out the way. When you see the other team adjusting, oh shit, they putting him in. Hey, come on, Javante, get you in right now. Let's stop this shit. Let's nip this shit in the bud. So I just kind of want to see some coaching from him. I want to see him actually, you know what I'm saying?
That's the best way to put it.
I really just, that's the only word I could think of. Like, I want to see coaching. Like, look across there and see, oh, that's what they're doing? Cool. All right, but let's do this. Let me see some shit like that. That's all. I don't want you sitting back on the bench just like, okay.
These niggas are just bringing the ball up.
Yeah, like, that's a good-ass game. Like, nigga, coach it.
Right. I'm with you on that, man. I agree. I want to see some actual coaching. I want to see the rotations. And they got to stagger DeMar and Zach's minutes. Like, there shouldn't be a time in the entire playoffs where not one of them two is on the court. And so I got to see that. But – yeah, man, Billy's good. He's a good coach. But I just want, like, my wish for the playoffs, and as we can get to our final topic of ranking potential playoff opponents, just please, just put up a fight, bro. Like, I don't want to, you know, the playoffs is the only time of year where everybody's watching the game on Twitter. I don't want to be watching niggas tweet about my team getting the ass kicked.
Don't embarrass us in front. Dog, you know how many people I seen tweeting about the book, like, oh, are the Bulls frauds? And I'm like, you don't even watch fucking sports. Like, you don't even watch sports.
There's nothing more irritating as a fan who dedicates their life to following the team, watching other people who don't watch their team say stupid shit about their fucking team.
Like, I've been following you for 10 years, nigga. You don't watch sports, dog.
You don't,
like,
watch
what are you talking about? Oh, the Bulls since you know 91, they had, like, nigga, shut up. Like,
I don't hear no 90 stats, bro. Michael Jordan right now is so deep into a glass of tequila and a cigar.
Right, nigga. He probably inside of it, nigga. Like, in that, swimming, nigga.
It's almost 8 p.m. in North Carolina right now, or Miami, whatever the fuck he's at today. I know he's still. Bob's bringing up Mike and with the 90s Bulls. That was a long time ago.
No, he got denim on. Wherever he at, he got denim.
Wherever he at. I mean, even that 2010 D. Rose team, that was 11 years ago.
Yeah, man.
Let it go. Like, in the words my man Ari Gold said, treat it like a bad piece of pussy. Forgot you smelled it and move on.
That's it.
Okay, we're talking about today, bro. So I just need to see better rotations for Billy. I need to see that. But more importantly, fuck Billy. I need this team to play like they fucking give a damn, dog. I'm tired of the effort, bro. That's all I'm saying. Put up a fucking fight. I'm tired of it.
What we've been asking these niggas to do? Just give a fuck.
Give a fuck.
We're not listen, dog. Like I don't. There's never been a time when we came on. We was mad about the Kings loss. I'm not gonna say that.
That's bum ass niggas the Kings. Supposed to be beating.
But yeah. We've never come in here and been mad when they lost to like superior teams. Team. We're mad because they getting their ass whooped the same way Tom used to on the Tom and Jerry. Like, bro, that's what they doing to us. Like on national TV. We can't like, have that.
Trey Young and the fucking Hawks last year went on a run, bro. I can't get her. I can't even have. You can't give me the trying that they gave.
Them motherfuckers fight. I'm envious of how that Hawks team plays basketball. I really am. Like they fight, dog.
And even in the second half of the season, they look dead in the water. I mean, they're still a play-in team, but do you really want to play Atlanta right now?
Listen, you do not. I'm gonna tell you right now. You do challenge them.
Like challenge. Like, I'll be real. That game is in Atlanta. Look, Brooklyn can't play defensive shit. I think Brooklyn would love to see like Cleveland or like fucking. I don't even think they want to see Cleveland. I think they'd love to see Charlotte.
Oh yeah, they seeing Charlotte will get them ready for who they play. Right. You know, next that's exactly who they want to see.
Let's get very clear. I'm picking them. I'm just letting niggas know right now. I'm picking the Nets. In every series, in every game that doesn't feature Giannis Antetokounmpo. Let's be very clear. Yeah. Katie is a cold nigga. Kyrie might be a bozo, but that motherfucker is a showman.
That motherfucker hoop, man.
So, Cleveland, they get Mobley back. They get in motherfucking Allen back. That's going to be tough for them. So, my point is, show some fight, Bulls.
Yeah.
Show some fucking fight. So let's get to our last topic.
Oh boy.
Ranking potential playoff opponents. So as we're sitting here recording this, it's 4:45 Pacific time on April 7th. So when you're listening to this, the Bulls will be getting ready to play the Charlotte Hornets in their last home regular season game. So the standings might be different. But as we look at it right now, if the playoffs start today, the Bulls will be facing the Milwaukee Bucks. Want no parts of that. Now, as we're recording this, the Milwaukee Bucks are currently playing the Boston Celtics, who they are only a half game behind. And Philly is tied with Milwaukee. So this next weekend, they've got what's called Milwaukee has Detroit on Friday. And then they have motherfucking Cleveland in Cleveland on Sunday, while the Philly has Indiana. And they have Detroit up next. I don't know what Boston's schedule is, but whatever. How would you rank these, and who would you rather want to see? Now, none of these are ideas, by the way. All three of these could be gentlemen sweeps or just straight-up sweeps.
Oh, yeah.
But if you had to rank them, how would you rank most favorable matchup to least favorable matchup?
Well, I think for me, the most favorable is Boston. Right, because I think with Boston, if you get physical enough with them, you can make them buckle. Now, if you let them, you know, let them boys go loose and their knees be acting right, then it's gonna be a long night for you. Tatum get the going off. That motherfucker hoop. I like him. I like him a lot. That motherfucking hoop. When he get going, he get to get into that foul line. You might as well go find yourself something. You know, if you're a fan of the other team they playing against, find you something else to do for the rest of the night because he ain't gonna stop. But I would say Boston is the most favorable. I would put Philly right above them as far as like, you know, we've yet to beat Philly since
Joel Embiid's career.
Yeah, he don't know
not
what it's
this
like.
Year.
He don't know what it's like to lose to the Bulls.
His career. There's actually a video of him trolling Zach in all-star practice. And I think he was telling who's the coach? Spoelstra. He said, Spoel, this guy's never beat me in his life.
That's just setting it up for us to beat him in the playoffs if we play. Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, in my story. So I'll say Philly will be after that because they're still kind of suspect because they got the nigga that's known to disappear in the playoffs over there. You know, one and only James Harden. He's a hell of a talent, but I mean, let's be real. Let's call it what it is. You know, he is who he is. And I think obviously, like, who you don't want any parts of is Milwaukee because they're not going to play from the tip off. I'm always scared that they're going to beat us by a number that's never been done before. Literally,
team in the NBA who wants smoke on Milwaukee. I'm gonna be very clear about the Bucks. I think they're repeating.
Really.
I think they're repeating, bro.
See, I
really do.
I think it'll be a rematch of last year's finals.
I think it depends on what Steph Curry's ankle is. If Steph Curry's ankle was fine, I got Golden State.
Because I just, Cliff, if put it like
Cliff got to prove to me he can beat the light skinned assassin.
Oh yeah, no, 1,000%. I put it like this: if Phoenix does go back, I'm putting a decent amount of money on Phoenix to win that chip. I'm gonna say that. So, but Milwaukee, we are not the Suns. Make no mistake about it, we are not definitely the Suns at all. No, let's be clear. Near. So while I'm talking all this cash money shit about the Suns, I'm gonna walk that all the way back when it comes to the Bulls and the, you know, Milwaukee. You don't want to see Milwaukee. I don't want to see Milwaukee. If we can get one game, I'll pop a bottle.
Dead I'll ass.
Say that. I'll leave it there with Milwaukee.
Because DeMar is 62. But I'm with you on the rankings. Boston is the most favorable. Mm-hmm. And the reason I say Boston is the most favorable is outside of Robert Williams being out, he's going to miss this entire first-round series. It's just huge for him. He's like their defensive anchor.
Yep.
Their half-court offense is just as smelly as ours.
Yeah, it really is.
Even
really
in the is. Game that we got our ass kicked the other night, Tatum played like shit. He played like shit. He played bad. And so I would take that. It would be Udoka. He's a rookie coach in his first playoffs. And let's keep it a bean. How many times have people hopped on the Celtics' dick the last 4 or 5 years and they flame out in the playoffs?
Yeah.
It is. It just happened.
And they've been great since the start of the year. You know, this, I'm not going to hate and act like they aren't. Like,
no,
they,
I'm not
you know,
hating.
They
they're a good team.
But they're still the Celtics, bro. Like, until proven otherwise. Like, it's like Jason Tatum said. You can't do anything until you do it, bro. You can't be the best player on the championship team until it's done. So until they do it, I'm saying right now that they can't beat us in the first round. Now, if they do it, then that's a different story. But right now on, you know, April 7th, it's true right now that I feel that they cannot beat us in the playoffs.
Well, I feel they can beat us. I just feel like we have the best opportunity. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if we beat them. Like, if we found a way to beat Philly or Milwaukee, nigga, I don't give a fuck what happens in the next round. Like, nigga, that's my championship.
I just kind of don't. I would be shocked if I would be shocked if we went out there and made them look like Milwaukee and Philly and shit. I would be like, wow, we are really ass. Like, that's, not that they're good. I would be like, we are really trash then.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
So it's like, I can at least see a scenario when we beat Boston. So that's why what happened is my most favorite.
Yeah, for sure.
Philly is number two only because James Harden is a check stealer when it comes to the playoffs. I've said this multiple times on this podcast. He's a great guy. Cool nigga when I met him. Doc Rivers is one of the most overrated coaches of all fucking time. If there's anything that him and James Harden know how to do, it is collapse. So I feel like that situation there will give us an opportunity. And also, we've never beaten them beating his career. Something's got to give, right? We got to eventually beat this nigga.
Yeah, like, the niggas ain't going to go out there and just keep, like, come on, dog.
And Philly has a lot of pressure coming into this season. Maybe most pressure out of anybody just for the how the last year's gone, how they crumbled in the playoffs last year, and they traded everything with James Harden. They might overlook us, and that might bite them in the ass. That's why I put them in number two. Now, number three, I want absolutely no parts of the Milwaukee Bucks. Giannis Antetokounmpo is—he's just too fucking good, bro. He's just too fucking good. Chris Middleton—I didn't like that nigga till last year. He gained my respect. Middleton's good. Drew is a defensive stalwart. You know, Brooke Lopez is back. That adds a different dimension. Bobby Portis takes a sick joy out of kicking our ass. You know, we let fucking Grayson Allen do whatever we want. By the way, shout out to Vooch for the one good thing he did do.
Yeah, boy.
Put fucking Grayson Allen on his goddamn ass.
Yeah, clean.
But I want no parts of that. That whole series should be on fucking NBA TV. Like, it's going to be nasty. So I don't want to see them at all. So that's how I will rank the three potential matchups. I'm hoping some way, somehow, we got to play Boston.
Man, yeah, listen, man. We, you know, how great would it be if Philadelphia 76ers caught jokes all summer and it was because of us after us never beating Embiid in his career. Awesome. That would be incredible. So, yes, I would want that win more because I think beating Boston, I mean, it's whatever. Like, it's whatever. I would feel way better if we beat Philly because I would be like, oh, shit. Like,
that'd be at least a lot.
Yeah,
and I don't personally know any Celtic fans. I got some niggas in Philly.
That's why it doesn't do anything for me. I know Philly fans. Like, it doesn't do anything for me. The Bucks.
Shout out my nigga Trav. Shout out my nigga G. That was a diehard Philly fan. I would love to troll them. So that's how I rank it, man. But that's all we got for y'all for this week. Next week we'll be back. Hopefully we'll have a guest. We're gonna do an actual full breakdown of our first round series, whoever it may be. Next week, the play-in should be over. or the last day of the play-in.
Last day of the play-in. Yep.
So actually, we might have to reschedule. I don't know what the Clippers schedule is looking like. So you will get it next week. It's just a matter.
It just depends on the day.
It just depends on the day. At the latest, you'll get it the morning of the playoffs. So depending on what the Clippers schedule is next week, but we back. You know, talk about that. Go through the playoff series, and we're looking forward to talking to y'all after every game as we do the third pick post game show,
which
we'll be streaming on the Barber's Chair Twitter account and the Barber's Chair YouTube account, man. You can follow Barber's Chair Network at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow me at Barber's Chair Scott on Twitter and Instagram. By the time you listen to this, it'll be a lot of great podcasts. We'll have the White Sox 2022 home opener preview for He Gone. Summer sessions will be out. We got a lot of shit to talk about on there. Check that out. And, of course, me and my brother breaking down episode 2 of the Marvel series Moon Knight. Check that out. Mariano, let them know where they can get in contact with you.
Yeah, man. Look, man. You know, at Mariano on Twitter, 2Ns, 2Os. Like, I'm telling y'all niggas, when y'all ask me if we can beat the fucking Milwaukee Bucks, nigga, no. No. It ain't going to happen.
No, nigga.
Yeah, it ain't going to happen. At Mariano Bimmons on Instagram. Yeah, like you said, man, we be right back. You know what I mean? We've been at y'all every week, other than, you know, when we feel like it and shit like that. But, you know, we here. We're going to be here through the playoffs. Hopefully the Bulls are too. You know, and you know, and that's that.
Definitely, man. Get in tune with us. We appreciate y'all. Patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. If you want to see this podcast, you want to see and hear our other podcasts, you know to subscribe. $5 Summer Sessions package, $5 79th and Hallis package, $10 Barber's Chair All Access package, man. We fuck with y'all and we are out.